This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه الصلاة والسلام عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد يقول الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم هو أصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. Wabat. What a beautiful day, freezing rain. So to warm you up, I'm going to mention a story about coffee to start my topic today, inshallah ta'ala. So there was a guy, he was sitting in front of his house back home, and he had a tasa of qahwa, a cup of coffee in front of him. He's sitting in front of a house, and people do this all the time back home, North Africa and other places. So this guy was sitting in front of his house, and he had the coffee on a chair in front of him, and he was stressed out, and he was depressed. So he reached out for the coffee, and he didn't want to drink it, so he would pull back. And he did this several times, and the coffee was getting a bit cold. Then came his silly friend, his neighbor, the people who like his posts on Facebook, but that's all they know about him. And he said, "What's up, dude?" And he took the coffee and he drank it, right? So his friend told him, "You didn't ask me why I'm depressed. You just drank my coffee and that's it, then you're laughing? That's it you're doing for me?" So this brother who was depressed said, "Since you didn't ask about how I feel, I will tell you. Well, I'm a failure, I'm a loser. Every time I drew something, I tried to do something, I failed. So I failed in school, I dropped out. I tried to start a business and I failed. I tried to do so many things and I failed. And as a matter of fact, another example, I tried to take my life today, I put poison in the coffee and I failed because you came and you drank my coffee." Right, thank you. Compare this story to the story of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He was doing i'tikaf in the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not long after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So he was doing i'tikaf in the Masjid. And, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his qabr is there in the Masjid. Then came a man, complete stranger, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu didn't know. And he sat next to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. The story is authentic. It's a hadith in Ibn Hibban, Tabarani, other books of hadith. He sat next to him, so Abdullah ibn Abbas saw the man, and the man was depressed. He was sitting like this, and he didn't say nothing, but Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu felt him. He didn't know him, but he felt him that something was wrong. So he came to him and he said, "Okay, what's up? What is the problem?" And the man told him, "I owe someone some money and I can't pay and I feel depressed." So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "Okay, let's go together. I'm going to go to the man and talk to him, remind him of the ayah in the Quran, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظَرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Like, to make it easy for you, to give you more time to pay. And if you're not able to pay, maybe he will drop some of the amount as zakah or something to help you out. And he said, "Okay, let's go." So the man said, "Ya ibn Ammi Rasulillah, you're the cousin of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You'll go with me to the man's house?" He said, "Yeah, we're here to serve. We're brothers, I'll help you." And he said, "What about your i'tikaf? You're in the masjid." He said, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, "Sami'tu sahib hadha al-qabr." I heard the one in the grave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, "Man masha li akhihi fi hajatin faqadaha خير له من أن يعتكف عشر سنين في المسجد. So I heard the man in this grave, the one in this grave, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he told me, he said in front of me, that whoever walks with his brother to do something, to help him do something, and it gets done, then this is better than doing i'tikaf for 10 years, right? So today's khutbah, inshallah, about brotherhood, what it means to be a true brother or a true sister to someone. Because sometimes we get the perception that a good person or your brother or your sister is someone who likes your posts on Facebook, who shares your posts, who comments on your posts and so on and so forth. But this is not the true meaning of brotherhood in Islam and sisterhood in Islam. So this is the focus. I started this series a while ago to talk about the reality of life, to put things in perspective so we can understand what is going on here before it is too late. So as an imam, I'm like the doctor of the community, the spiritual doctor of the community. I see the problems, people come to me, and I feel people. So I like to share some stories with you to open our eyes, to see the problems, and try together to solve them. So we know in Islam we have three different levels of brotherhood and sisterhood, inshallah. So basically, the basic one, which is, brotherhood, sisterhood, and humanity. And this basically covers everyone you see around you, regardless of their faith, regardless of the religion, the race, color. Everyone around you, believe it or not, came from the same root, from Adam and Hawa. The second level, which is biological brotherhood and sisterhood, your brother and sister from the same father and mother. And the third type, which is brotherhood in faith, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, the believers constitute, they make up one brotherhood. So the people who are, share the same faith with you, and this is the third level of brotherhood in Islam. So basically, the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran, they mention some basic rights for your brothers and sisters. You claim to be a true brother, a true sister, then prove it. And the Prophet ﷺ will share some hadith with you to give us that the rights that you owe to other Muslims, and by extension, of course, they owe the same rights to you, because it's a give and take relationship. So the Prophet ﷺ says, for example, in Bukhari and Muslim, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ سِتْ. A Muslim, brother or sister, they owe other Muslims six rights. And the number is generic, it's not only six, but the Prophet ﷺ is just giving you examples. And this can apply to other rights as well. قَالَ إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. If you meet your Muslim brother, then give them salam. And of course, not just hi, bye. You have to check on them, like what are you doing, what's up, and is there anything I can do for you? إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. وَإِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْهُ. If they have an occasion, a social occasion, or anything, and they invite you, then go and help them and show support. وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. And if they ask for your nasiha, then give them nasiha. فِي سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ. Like someone is going to get married or looking for someone to marry, he's going to start a business, he's doing istikhara, you give them nasiha based on your experience in life. You don't mislead them if you don't have the knowledge, but give them nasiha. And usually people ask for nasiha in two ways. They will either ask you, they will call you up, or they will come to you or send you an email, or by just looking at them, you see something is wrong and you come to the rescue and offer them your nasiha, your experience. So they don't have to ask for nasiha. وَإِذَا عَطِسَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ فَشَمِّتْهُ. If they sneeze and they say alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah, tashmith. وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُودُهُ. If the person falls sick, you go and visit them, cheer them up a little bit. And if the person dies, وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتْبَعُهُ. Some people take it literally, fatbahu means to follow them. If they die, it doesn't mean that you die after them. It means you go to their janazah, right? And the Prophet ﷺ speaks, he specifies in another hadith, Sahih Muslim. We mentioned the hadith in Jabr al-Khawatir a year or two ago, where the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah will hold you accountable for these rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, عَبْدِي مَرِضْتُ فَلَمْ تَعُدْنِي. My servant, I feel sick and you never visited me. So the person will say, Ya Allah, how can you fall sick one to Rabbul Alameen and how can I visit you? And Allah will say, don't you know that your brother or your sister or your neighbor were sick and you were able to visit them, but you never did. If you visited them, you would have found my reward by their side. Then the hadith continues, Abdi, I was hungry, you never fed me, how can I feed you? Don't you know that I was hungry, your neighbor was hungry, and you never went out to help them? And so on and so forth. It's a bit longer hadith. So these are some of the rights. Checking on your brothers and sisters and taking care of them, and I'll tell you why at the end, inshallah ta'ala. Another haq is, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. في البخاري ومسلم. You're not a true believer until you love for people what you love for yourself. And by extension, if you hate something for yourself, you hate it for them as well, right? So this is another right, that you love for them what you love for yourself. And number three, لا تظلمه. Don't commit injustice to them, because you hate for them what you hate for yourself. And I'm not sure if I mentioned the story here. A long time ago, I was in South Carolina, and I have this brother in the community, mashallah, an amazing brother. He had like four children, and he wanted to buy a car because he's tired of taking the bus. He was working for his PhD degree from Clemson University in engineering. An amazing guy, brilliant guy from Jordan. So basically, he wanted to buy a car, and they have Craigslist in the U.S., just like Kijiji here. So he was looking up different options to buy a car, and he found different options within his budget, I think $3,000, $4,000, something. So basically, he looked at the cars, and he realized that one of them, the name, the contact person was Muhammad. So he said, Takbir, I'm going to buy Muhammad's car. He's my brother. He will take care of me, mashallah. So he called the brother up. He was living in another city, which is about 45 minutes away. So another brother gave him a ride. He went to the brother, he bought the car, everything's okay. I'm your brother, I'm not gonna, you know, fool you. And he gave you the car. And the brother told me that before he could reach his house, you know, the smoke was coming out from the back like hell. He felt like World War III broke out behind him. He went home, he tried to open the door, the door fell off. What is this? He tried to call Muhammad from Greenville a million times, nowhere to be found. He's not picking up. So he was lost. What is this? Like, this is junk, and the brother fooled me. So he tried to find him, track him down. He couldn't. So eventually he went to the Imam of the Masjid in Greenville, and he tried to find the brother. SubhanAllah, you're asking about this guy after giving the description. So eventually they found the guy. So the guy told him, what are you talking about? I gave you a good car. I gave you a good car. So he said, no, it's a piece of junk. Just give me my money back, take your car. He said, no, I spent the money. I don't have the $3,000, $4,000. But because I'm a good guy, I'll give you the money back by installments. So every month I'm gonna send you $20, $25. I'm a good guy, I'm not that evil, you know? So the brother took advantage of his brother, right? So he used Islam to abuse his brother, and this is not acceptable. This is shameful. This is bad. You know, when you abuse the trust the people give you because of this faith. Another example of one of the ulama, his name escapes me right now, he said he was traveling in the desert, and a chor, a hostess, or a tuk, came to steal his money. So, you know, the guy took his money, he robbed him, he took his money. He was traveling by himself, and this guy came with his sword and he took his money. So when the thief was leaving, this brother called him and he said, what's your name? He said, well, my first name is Hassan or something, just a name, right? He said, oh, so you're Muslim? So please, I have just one request. Please don't tell people that you stole from another Muslim. I don't care about the money, but when you tell people that you stole from another Muslim, people will say Muslims are stealing from one another. And of course, we're not supposed to lie or cheat or steal from anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim. But if you do it to people, people will say, well, Muslims are thieves, and this gives a bad image to Islam. You're not supposed to do it, period. So this is another right. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam يقول في الحديث في صحيح مسلم البخاري المسلم المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يسلمه. A Muslim, a true Muslim, is the brother of their Muslim brother or sister. They don't commit injustice to them, ولا يسلمه, they don't let them down. ومن كان في حاجة أخي كان الله في حاجته ومن فرج عن مسلم كربة من كرب الدنيا فرج الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة ومن ستر مسلما في الدنيا ستره الله يوم القيامة. You know the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ also says that, you know, the Muslim is the brother of their Muslim brother or sister. They don't wrong them and they don't let them down. And whoever helps their brother or sister in something, then Allah will take care of them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if you cover their mistakes, Allah will cover your sins on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Another haqq, that you don't scare them. You know, so there are the do's and the don'ts in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is based in a hadith in Al-Hakim Tabarani. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was traveling with some of his Sahaba, and one of his friends, companion, it doesn't give his name, you know, he had some stuff, like he has a bag or something next to him with his keys and like his stuff, his, you know. So another Sahabi wanted to play, you know, a trick on him or a joke, a practical joke or a prank. He wanted to prank him basically. So he took his bag and he hid it somewhere in the bushes or somewhere, or he, you know, dug in the sand and he put it and he covered it. And the Sahabi like, I'm lost, where is my stuff? I can't do without my stuff. And he was scared, and the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَأْخُذُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَتَاعَ صَاحِبِهِ لَا جَادًا وَلَا لَعِبًا. He told them, don't scare your brother by taking their stuff. It doesn't matter if you're joking or you're serious, don't scare your Muslim brothers or sisters in any way. So I know around April, you know, people call each other, sorry Muhammad, your mom just died, or your house is on fire. You know, I hear stories all the time. Wallahi, I've seen cases like at the dorm, at Al-Azhar in Egypt. I've seen cases in front of my eyes. Like the brother, like he was living with us and, you know, some other guys from the medical school in the other room. So they sneaked into the room. They had like, you know, for anatomy and stuff, they have bones, they have skulls and stuff. So one time one of them, he brought the skull and he put it under this guy's pillow. He came late at night, around 11, you know, he was all by himself. It was about the weekend, and he went to his room, he tried to sleep, and he felt something was under his pillow. He turned the lights on, he looked, and there was a skull, and all I heard was screams. I was living in the other room, sorry, across from his room. And all I heard was screaming, what is going on? I went to him, and he said, Wallahi, I was about to jump. We were in the third or the fourth floor. Like, he was scared to, you know. So this is not acceptable. You are not allowed to harm them, and you have to do what is best for them as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. وبعد. Why am I telling you all these stories and حقوق المسلمين and so on and so forth? The reason is, unless you are a native Indian, you are not from here. We came from a different country. And one of the problems is, when you guys come to the khutbah and you are facing me, you don't see the reality. All you see in front of you is hair, or someone's back if they don't have hair, right? You don't see the faces. I see the faces. So what I see right now is a mosaic of people. I see people from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Guyana, people from Turkey, people from Europe, Africa, North America, people from all over, right? In front of me right now, I see at least 35, 40 different nationalities. So we have to have each other's back, right? This is survival technique for minorities, and everyone is doing it. The Chinese are doing it, the Ukrainians, the Italians, the Jews, everyone is doing it. This is the only survival technique. We take care of each other as brothers and sisters, right? We have to be there for one another. And the problem, as I said, the masajid, and this is the only place we as brothers and sisters meet in terms of faith, is the masjid here, especially Salatul Jummah. And in many cases, the masjid, you know, becomes like a big bus, right? Where you sit in a bus, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and I'm being the driver here, and after the khutbah, after salah, you just get off the bus. You don't know the people around you, although you see them every Jummah. You don't know their names, you don't know where they're from, you don't know their struggles in life, you don't know what they're doing in life, their business. We don't know nothing about each other. So please do me a favor. Today after Jummah and after every Jummah, turn to the person to your right, shake their hands, ask for their name and what they're doing. Like, what is their business? This is good for networking. Like, if you are a doctor, a good doctor, I'm gonna come to your clinic. If you're a business person, I'm gonna support your business and buy from you. I'm gonna buy food anyway, clothes, shoes. I might as well help my Muslim brother and sister, or buy local and so on and so forth. We take care of each other. There's nothing wrong if we support each other. People, when they fall sick in the community, because no one knows their name, a lot of people here are single, they don't have family here, they don't have friends here, they just come to Jummah and leave. And because we don't know their names, we don't know where they live, we don't know where they do, they feel like lost. No one cares about them, no one is asking about them. They don't come for Jummah for a month because they are sick and no one is asking about them. What does this tell them about the community? Like, we don't care, right? So this is our collective duty as brothers and sisters to check on each other. I know people in the community, as I said, they fall sick, they are diagnosed with cancer, they stay at home for months, no one is asking about them. And this makes it worse for them that no one cares about me. I know brothers and sisters, they have businesses and they're struggling and no one is supporting them. We need to support each other's business and take care of one another. I know brothers and sisters in the community, they have children who are late 30s, early 40s, they are not married, they don't know anyone. And wallahi, some of them, they come to me and they say, Imam, you know, my daughters, they're 30, 40 years old and, you know, they're good, beautiful, educated, and we don't know anyone, can you help me out? We have come to this point. Same thing for the brothers, I have sons, you know, 30 years old, 40 years old, we don't know anyone in the community, or we just came and, you know, we need to help each other, right? So again, we need to take care of one another. This will help us with our faith as Muslims to stick together. This will help us socially. This will help us economically to be well off because we have each other's back. We take care of one another. But again, please, before we leave, let's make this drill every Jummah. Turn to your right, shake someone's hand, ask for their name. What do you do? How can I help you? And do a lot of networking. Because we as a community, we're one brotherhood. We need to care about one another and take care of one another. So this is my message for today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. And give us sincerity in everything we say and do. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take care of one another as Muslim brothers and sisters. And to take care of humanity at large. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakum wa khayyum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.